Our text today, just before the message, my wife is going to sing for us, but I'm going to invite you to look at our text. It's found in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 11. If you'll stand with me, if you're able to stand, and we'll read the passage of Scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and it's verse 11. You'll see it also on the screen. Now, all these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Let us pray together. Father, thank you for the time that we've had in offering our praise and our worship and song to you. And thank you, Lord, for the fact that today, Lord, is a special time of recognition in our church as we honor and think back upon the lives of those who have given the ultimate sacrifice that we can know freedom. Thank you, Lord, for some, even in this room, that have lost a son or a daughter or maybe a family member in battle, that we can, Lord, enjoy the liberties that we so much enjoy. And Lord, we remember them and never want to forget their great sacrifice. And Lord, I just pray, Father, that we'll look to you, though, as our ultimate sacrifice, the one who gave all that we can know life, ultimate saving knowledge that is possible through you and the death that you suffered on the cross. Thank you for salvation. It is a free gift. And Lord, I just pray if there's one under the sound of my voice today is not sure of salvation, and not sure if they died they'd go to heaven, that they would, Lord, today place their heart and life into your hands. And we pray this in your holy name. Amen. Please be seated.
I could give you some biblical memorials, a rainbow after the flood. You can see that, and it reminds us of a future. It reminds the future generations, us as well, that there'd be no more. There's going to be no more worldwide judgment by water. The brazen altar in the tabernacle was to remind Israel of the blood redemption. The stones that the Levites took out of the bottom of the river and they placed it on the banks of the Jordan were to remind future generations that God brought them into the land. The cross is a memorial. Thank God he's not on the cross, right? He's not. But yet we do wear crosses without Christ being on the cross. And that is a reminder that of Christ's death for the whole world, really. Baptism is a memorial. Again, as you find in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 12, it says you were buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation, that is the working of God, who hath raised him from the dead. The Lord's table is a memorial. We participate in that here about every quarter. We come together as we observe the Lord's Supper. And Luke 22, verse 19 says, "Let this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And the word remembrance, as you look in that passage, is something that we reflect on even today. As you even go to a cemetery on Memorial Day, you find that many of them who have served this country probably have flags on them and reminding us that they died, maybe serving their country. So when we gather around the Lord's table, it's a reminder of the ultimate price, and we never forget what Christ did for us. So when you think of a memorial such as the Veteran Memorial Wall, anybody ever seen that? The Veteran Memorial Wall or the Unknown Soldier. Okay, some of you have been there to see that, and the other war memorials in Washington, D.C. How many of you have been to the Alamo in Texas? Okay, wow, a lot more hands. How about I've never been to Hawaii. This is where I guess you have to go to see the Arizona, right? The Pearl Harbor. Some of you have been there. So I've been to Washington, D.C., and I've seen most of these places up there in Washington, D.C., and they're just something that just grabs you when you go there, right? And you realize and you see that wall of names. And it's more than just names. It's lives that a mom or a dad or a grandparent or a wife or a husband, they've given up somebody. And they never forget. You could go there today, and I'm sure there are hundreds of people at the Vietnam Memorial Wall and the Unknown Soldier and all these places. And, you know, I know you don't want to have to go there for a loved one, but yet thank God for these who have paid the ultimate sacrifice. So what I want to get into today concerning Memorial Day, and this is a different message than your normal Sunday morning message to some degree, because to be honest with you, what I'm finding in a lot of our kids today, a lot of our kids do not know what's holidays, certain holidays that we celebrate in this country are all about, because they're not taught anymore. That's not a bad reflection on teachers. It's just that, you know, the fact that our higher-ups don't see the significance of it. But you know what? That's where the local church has to really, you know, hold that up more so. And I think that what you'll find today I'm speaking on, yes, is not all about Memorial Day, but how do we tie the two together? How do we tie the biblical memorials with the even Memorial Day? How do we tie that together? How do our kids know what this is all about? Because you know what? Some believe that Memorial Day is just, you know, a day of vacation. You know, as we look at a couple of things this morning, what should cause us to, how should we look at Memorial Day? And what should Memorial Day cause us to do? First of all, it should cause us to look back with gratitude. Would you agree with that? Memorial Day should cause us to look back with gratitude. Now, a couple of things here, the history of Memorial Day. There's a lot of writings concerning the history of Memorial Day, and you know, some have a different view than maybe what I have to give you today, and if that's the case, then you can correct me later, okay? But Memorial Day, yes, it is a holiday that was begun by Americans to show their deep gratitude for soldiers who had died. It was not started as a day to celebrate and maybe an end of school year or maybe the beginning of summer vacation or maybe a day off from work tomorrow, which, by the way, none of these things are bad in and of themselves. We all like a day off or we like a vacation and you know that, but Memorial Day is a time, as you well know, it's a time to reflect back into history of this great country and remember the sacrifice that many have paid with their lives that we today may know freedom. Matter of fact, some say that the celebration of Memorial Day actually begun, as we look at the history of it, in 1865 when Henry C. Wells, a druggist in Waterloo, New York, began promoting the idea of decorating the graves of Civil War veterans. Some people still call Memorial Day Decoration Day. How many of you heard that before? Okay. And because it's a time that you go and you decorate the graves or remember those who died for their freedom. Druggist Henry Wells, he formed a committee to make wreaths, a committee to make crosses and bouquets for each veteran's graves, so that we must not forget the history of Memorial Day, so that it can be appreciative. And that's what you see some today. Some will spend time today, and maybe they didn't lose a loved one or whatever, but yet you'll find people at the cemetery today or tomorrow in particular, and they will decorate the graves and have the flags. That's what we see a little bit in history. It's to show our gratitude as well. But you know, we look back in history. When we look back, and even as we've tried to do today, and I don't know about you, but just to hear the songs and that our choir sung, and then Melissa, and then of course our kids and my wife, you know, as I reflect on this day, it makes me appreciate, and I'm sure you, the just to appreciate and have gratitude as we look back. And that's what Memorial Day does. You know, we don't want to remember our fallen servicemen and women just to show that we're grateful we're free. But, you know, we remember them because we respect their sacrifice that they have paid. You know, gratitude is a very simple little thing. You know, it's like teaching a child to say thank you or maybe to send a thank you card. And those who can't show gratitude often reveal their lack of character. And by the way, folks, I think you would agree, this is I can just say that, you know, we can all get a little angry at things sometimes that we see in our society. But, you know, our kids need to be taught gratitude, don't they? And especially in an event like this, why do we promote and why do we show so that our kids can know why they're able to be here today, even in a setting like this? Someone said this, gratitude is the least remembered of all virtues. Gratitude. Yeah, so we teach our kids character. We teach them to say thank you. When you say thank you to another, they begin to learn respect for one another, right? And they stop living in a self-centered world. And we see so much of that today. Gratitude makes us depend on other people. Gratitude teaches what life is about. For example, having relationships with other people. Gratitude teaches us really to look to God and to be thankful. You know, when I'm reminded of what some things that we've heard and seen today, ultimately we need to look to God and give thanks for the freedoms that we so enjoy. You see, when an Israelite came to the tabernacle in the Old Testament times, he could only enter in by one gate. And this reminds us that Jesus is the only way, that He's the only truth, and He's the only life. The Bible says in Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So there's only one way into the tabernacle. There's only one way into heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. You know, when Israel came to the tabernacle, it was a place of remembering. They brought their lambs and they remembered their sins. They sacrificed the blood of the lamb, which was a symbol that an innocent sacrifice died in their place. So whereas each Israelite should have died for their sins, the lamb that they brought to the tabernacle, each one of them was substituted for each one. Therefore, the tabernacle should have made them grateful. So the tabernacle was a place to remember God, where God's people gathered. It was a place that caused them to remember that they were forgiven of their sins. So that each time that an Israelite came to the tabernacle, they remembered their God who saved them. That's why every time we come together on Sunday, we come together as a body of born-again, baptized believers, many in this room. We come together collectively as a body of believers, yes, number one, to worship God, but also we should come together with gratitude and remember God. You know, that's why, as I made reference earlier, Memorial Day is not a time to, let's take a vacation on God. Because every church, every pastor can tell you, church attendance will fall off a lot of times on special events or summer months or whatever. And you know what? That's where some folks, we lose them the rest of the year. Because there's a tendency to, when you start getting out of church and it becomes more of a issue, than sometimes we think, well, that's just part of enjoying life. Listen, coming to the tabernacle, which this is a place where we gather, not to find God. You know, it's a good place to find God. But yet, in other words, God doesn't just live in this building and we go home and we come back and find Him the rest of the week. When you leave here today as a believer, God goes with you. Because we are the church, and we take God into our communities, we take God in our schools, we take God into our workplaces, but yet we collectively come together as a body of believers to worship God, as we've done this already this morning through singing and now preaching of God's Word. We do this to give gratitude and thank God that He's made it possible where we could do that. So, We we reflect with gratitude. We reflect back with gratitude. The second thing to keep in mind, Memorial Day should cause us also to look inward for dedication. To look inward for dedication. Now, what should happen to America when they go to Americans when they go to military cemeteries? We go, and if you was to go to Washington, D.C., or maybe our local cemetery here, there's a few that have places at the cemetery where they honor our fallen soldiers. But you go there to remember the servicemen and women who have died to give us freedom. Memorial Day challenges us to live for our country. When we go to these places and we talk about those who have given their life, it's a challenge that, hey, I want to live for my country and be willing to die for it if need be, just as the fallen have done. Because of some service man or some service woman, they've died to give us liberty. You know what? That ought to, just that alone should cause us to be willing to say, hey, I would do the same if called upon. If they were willing to give their life, that ought to challenge us to say, hey, if called upon, I'd be willing to do the same thing. Let's apply that to Christianity, though. Because Christ has died to give us spiritual freedom, we should be willing to give our life in His service, right? So that others can have liberty. We look back in history and Bible days, we have our Christian liberties today because of those men and women who have stood for Christ, who had died in the past, who have given their life so that we could have the gospel even today. Thank God. Not only do we remember our servicemen and women who have died for this country, but there are Christians who have died in the past that we could have and enjoy liberties. Memorial Day challenges us to make America even greater when you reflect on it, right? When you think about the sacrifice that was paid, when we realize that thousands of servicemen and women died for this nation so that we can become free. Can we let this nation become weak and corrupt as we sadly are seeing some of those type things done? The answer is obviously no. We should strive to make this nation better. For the first time, I was able to go out yesterday, not the first time to Lowe's, but I went to Lowe's. I've had this flag that I've had in my garage, just standing there in the corner without flying it because I didn't have a holder for it. Put on the side of my house. And for the longest, and I bet I bought this flag 10 years ago. Because as many of you know, I'm not really inclined to do a lot of things with my hands. I'm a preacher, but that's not to say preachers don't do that. It's just that I'm learning as I go. Now, my wife can tell you, I can fix a few toilets now. And I can build a couple of things. But anyway, I decided, I didn't know they made these holders the way they did. I mean, I had one that came with the flag, but it, just wouldn't stay on the wall. So I found one at Lowe's. Boy, I was so excited. I got home and I put I tried to drill a screw in the post and it wouldn't go all the way through. So I thought, Brother Trucks, I bet I can make a hole there. So I did. And boy, I put two screws in that thing and boy, my flag is flying high today. And I feel good about it. It just made me feel good all over when I hung that flag, and it just made me have gratitude. Why? Because, we have something in America to be thankful for. The least I can do as an American citizen is to fly a flag. But there have been many who have given their life so that I can know freedom and have the ability to fly that flag. And so, as a believer, as a Christian, I know what real liberty is all about. Real liberty is all about if you've placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. But, may we never give up on the fact of enjoying the liberties that God has given us in this free country. That's why we need to educate ourselves and become better Americans. Yes, even when we pay our taxes, We strengthen this nation as much as I believe sometimes we're overtaxed. And I don't necessarily like buying phones for people just to talk on the phone. Now, if there's somebody I can help with a phone, that's fine. But yet, you know, that bothers me. But there are some issues I understand in paying taxes. But yet, thank God, we have a country we can live in. And yes, even pay taxes. And yes, we can exercise our right to vote. Praise God for that. I can go and vote whether it counts to who I'm voting for or not. I have the right to do so. And thank God for that. But you know what? Some will say, I'm not going to vote anymore. I'm not going to pay my taxes anymore. And I'm not going to salute the flag anymore. It bothered me the other day. There's a group now that's gotten together and they decided they're going to stomp on the flag. There was a school up in, I think, South or North Carolina, a principal. Now, I don't know the details. There may be more to it than I know, but a principal told a kid that he could not fly his flag in his truck anymore. Now, I understand there may have been, just to give the principal a way out here, maybe there was a safety issue or not, or whatever. I don't know if that was the case. But, you know, anyway, I think, listen, we ought to have the right to fly our flag, right? And so the next day, a bunch of kids just came loaded down with their vehicles with flags all over it. And I've noticed here at Prattville High School in the last week, kids are riding around with American flags, just flying high. And you know what? I enjoy seeing that. I think if anything, that flag is a symbol of our freedoms and what we enjoy. And for somebody to burn it or to stomp on it, that really gets to me. But yet a lot of it has to do that our kids are not taught what sacrifice have been paid so that we could have the liberty to enjoy the freedom to even burn the flag. Although that's not what I think is legally right. But yet, you know, they see it that they can do that. Somebody died that they could do that. Listen, and shouldn't we dedicate ourselves to strengthen the body of Christ? You know, if we're going to be challenged as Americans to stand up and be willing to offer our life for sacrifice like our soldiers, then shouldn't we do the same thing in the body of Christ? Shouldn't we dedicate ourselves to the body of Christ? In other words, shouldn't we dedicate ourselves to the church? You know, the church shouldn't be taking a back seat in our life. Shouldn't we dedicate ourselves to Sunday school and maybe to witness to people, to pray for the stability of our churches? Because listen, sadly, churches are closing in America. They are. Because they're becoming unstable. Why is that? Because sadly, God's people is allowing it to happen. If you were in England in the 1800s, great revivals were taking place. I mean revivals. God, there was a movement of God. Churches were everywhere. Now these churches are museums. Very few Christians. There are a lot of Christians in that part of the country. But yet, they're not taking a stand for Christ. They have forgotten the sacrifice that has been paid. We need to look back with gratitude. We need to look inward with dedication. Memorial Day should also cause us to look upward with faith. Memorial Day ought to cause us to look upward with faith. Why did God establish memorials in the Bible? It was not just to make us feel guilty or sad. It was not just to make us feel good. God gave memorials to build up our faith in Him. You see, notice Paul described the great victories in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 11. The great victories that God gave to Israel in the wilderness. And what did those victories do for the church? He says, now all these things happen unto them for what? For examples. And they are written for our admonition. Now this verse tells us that God gave these memorials for an admonition. What does the word admonition mean? It means to admonish or exhort or to motivate. You see, therefore, the memorials for the past victories that God gave His children in the Old Testament, these were to motivate those in the New Testament to separate from sin and to encourage us even today to separate ourselves from sin, to be soul winners, to be faithful in Christian living and be obedient to the Word of God, and also, and most of all, I believe, to put our faith and trust in God on a daily basis. Admonition. Admonish them. Don't quit when the going's tough. I mean, some of you this past week had a tough week at work. Now, maybe you thought about going into the to the boss and say, "Hey, I'm going to quit. This work is getting too hard." You know what the boss will say? "Well, hit the door. I find somebody who wants to get a paycheck, who wants to work." But you know what? We don't do that. But how come it's so easy to say when things get tough in the church sometimes, "I'm just going to quit. I'll just quit on God. I'll quit reading my Bible. I'll quit praying. I'll quit serving." And you know what? It's easy. I found it's easy to quit on God versus quitting a job. We need that job, right? We got to have that paycheck. I won't be able to go to Walmart if I don't get my paycheck. And you know, I'm being somewhat facetious, but yet, why is it that sometimes we find it so easy to quit on God, who we should find that we're dedicated to, that we need to be in the battlefront when the going's tough, because it's going to be tough. Boy, living for Christ is not easy. But thank God, as we look back in the past, those who had lived for Christ, aren't you glad they didn't quit? Some of them quit. But yet there are those who stayed in the battle so that you and I can enjoy our Christian liberties today. And thank God for our men and women who have served this country. And I'm sure there have been some deserters along the way. I know there have been. But thank God who they gave their life in the battlefront. I read one the other day of a young man who was he was reading his Bible. He was in a foxhole. He was reading his Bible. And the superior officers just kind of made light of that, used it as, well, he was fearful of the battle. And in some way scolded him for reading his Bible. But all of a sudden, there was a bomb or a grenade that was thrown into the foxhole. That young man threw his body on that grenade. And because of his sacrifice, the rest lived. After that was over, they had a total different outlook on that young man. They realized that just because he read his Bible didn't mean he was a wimp. It showed his great courage that he had. And from that day, their lives were changed, obviously so. If it had not been for his giving his life, then they would have obviously all died, perished. But what a hero, what a courageous person he was. On Memorial Day, why do we remember our fallen servicemen and servicewomen? Is it just to make us feel good? No. Is it just to make us grateful for what they have done? No. Americans should remember what these servicemen and women have done, and really ought to cause us, if anything, to recommit ourselves to the carrying out of the purpose of freedom for all, to have life and liberty in the pursuit of happiness. Memorial Day should make us better Americans, right? Memorial Day should allow us to have the right outlook on our freedom when it comes to being better Christians. Yes, I'm thankful we can fly the flag in America. And thank God for the sacrifice that many have paid, but it ought to, as for believers, ought to cause us to be better Christians, because you know, we can relate to a sacrifice through what Jesus did on the cross for all of us. Why do we observe the Lord's table? Well, we remember. We look back. To observe the body of Christ that was broken. The cup, that bread was given as a memorial when we pass it as representing the body of Christ that was broken. The cup is a memorial of the shed blood of Christ. You know, do we take these elements just to feel good? No. Do we take them just to be grateful? No. You see, the memorial of the Lord's table is given to motivate us and should cause us to be motivated into godly Christian living. Right? Or we leave here to be more encouraged. I know I am. Every time I observe the Lord's Supper, it's just, I leave here. Not that, you know, I'm just grateful I can take it, or I'm not just thankful that I participated in another Lord's Supper, but yet, anytime we can take time to reflect back upon what Christ has done for us, it ought to motivate us, ought to challenge us in our Christian walk for the Lord. When I visit my parents' grave, you know, I'm saddened that they're not here. But at the same time, I'm strengthened to live the type of life they would have me to live. I'm strengthened to the fact that because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross and they accepted Him as their Savior, I'll see Him again one day. So, you know, that loved one that you have lost, if they know the Lord, it doesn't have to be a sad occasion. But it can be a time of being grateful for what Christ has done. We need to look up in faith. On this Memorial Day, if you were to go to the tomb of the unknown soldier in Washington, D.C., then you'll remember that there was a soldier that gave his life or her life for your freedom. In the secular sense, that soldier expects you to live the kind of life as an American that he would have you live if given the opportunity. But that soldier also expects you to make America better, as he gave his life to make America better. And if that soldier could put his desires into words today, and that soldier could stand behind this pulpit today, I believe that he might say that he wants his death to make you stronger and more committed than ever to keep the dream of freedom alive for all Americans and for all the world. That soldier that we honor would say, hey, let's stand up for America. Let's stand in the gap. Let's don't throw in the towel and quit when the going's tough. What influence should the memorials in the Bible have on you today? When you see a rainbow in the sky, remember that God will not judge the world again with water, but He will judge the world again with fire, the Bible says. Therefore, the rainbow tells us to live now for the Lord. Why? Because we have the opportunity to do so. And also knowing that there is a future judgment coming. And so because of that, listen, let's live for God now. When you observe the Lord's table, remember that you have a new life because Christ died for you. You have a renewed responsibility that God says in His Word to live for God now. Some would say, I want to put it off for later. I want to eat, drink, and be merry in the way of the world, not the way of God. And there's so many sometimes that choose to go that route. But yet, let me challenge you. Listen, God would have you to live for Him now. You know, fly that flag, that Christian flag in your life. That, hey, that it's not just a symbol that I'm flying, but it's something that represents more than that. It represents a life that I have in Jesus Christ, a liberty that I have in the Lord. We have the opportunity of doing great things for God, to serve God, don't we? Because of the great sacrifice that our Savior paid on the cross. We have a challenge to grow in our faith for the cause of Christ. And I hope today, on this Memorial Day weekend, as we go into Memorial, yes, it's a time to reflect back with gratitude. It's a time to look inward for dedication and to look up with faith. It's not just a time to say, hey, I'm going to just take a vacation. It's not a time I'm going to take a day off. Listen, it's a time to truly, let's take time to remember. let's take time to reflect. Yes, upon what our soldiers have done, but more so what Christ has done to make it all possible for us. If you don't know the Lord as your Savior today, you've heard me say a few times today, I trust that you'll put your faith and trust in the Lord, because that's where you find true freedom. When I was an 11-year-old boy, I invited Jesus Christ in my heart, my Savior. I didn't really know what freedom meant back then, but I thank God today that because of me accepting Christ in my heart, my life, I've been set free as a believer, that I don't have to sin anymore. I can choose not to sin. And who keeps me for that way? Who keeps me from sinning? Christ does. Now, I'm still a sinner, and I still give in to sin, but I thank God I have a way out. Christ paid that price on the cross for you, for me. And if you don't know Him as your Savior today, you say, preacher, does it walk the aisle mean that I get saved? No. Sitting in a pew, doesn't that mean I get saved by sitting in a pew or reading my Bible? No. You see, it's all about faith and belief in the Lord Jesus Christ. Inviting Him in your heart, realizing what He did on the cross over 2,000 years ago was for you. And He wants to come into your heart. Maybe, Lord, you know, you can say, I've never done this before. Well, you know what? It only takes one time. Thank God for that. One time. When I got saved as an 11-year-old boy, I've never had to get saved again because I was saved one time. Jesus went to the cross. He died one time. Thank God He didn't have to go to the cross and die every time I sin. He died one time. And complete and full, the penalty of sin was paid for, and for you as well. Would you invite Him in your life if you don't know Him? We'll be down front to counsel with you. Now, again, if you want to walk the aisle, we'll be glad to show you from God's Word how you can invite Christ as your Savior. And we'll put you in the right hands of somebody who can show you how to do that. Or if you don't know, or if you have some unsettled business in your life, that you need to come to this altar. Thank God we have an altar. We can come pray. Would you stand with me? Christians, praying this morning with heads bowed and eyes closed.